Thank you, Jesus. Come out of the darkness and into the light. He's a good God. He's an awesome God this morning. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let that go. Just remind the Lord what you picked up and said, yeah, I took a hold of that this morning, Father. What an awesome bunch of people. Great to have you here this morning. And we've been fasting the last couple of weeks. We have one more week to go. And if you want to know what we're fasting about, there's a pamphlet out there at the in the foyer there about fasting. And we're just believing in this time for our spirits just to be more open and receptive to what the Lord is saying and to be more aware of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us and to actually respond to that. And so I know God's got some good things that He wants to do and minister into our hearts and into our lives. And so, you know, as we just continue on in this last week and come to our prayer meetings, let's just keep believing, you know, for things that God wants to do in our hearts. For some of us, it's shifting some things, you know, and making room. You know, the scripture says this, and I was looking at it a wee bit this week and thinking about it, that no one likes the new. They all prefer the old. It's just who we are. It's easy. It's by default. We just go back to old habits and old ways because it's easy. It doesn't ask anything of us. It doesn't require of us to have to discipline ourselves in a lot of ways. But sometimes the new is better. And when God comes and is doing something new, it's because He's got something exciting in store. But the new doesn't look always that great. And He talks about the new wine and the new garments. And He says, you know, don't patch up the old. Don't patch up the old garment because that doesn't look good. I've got a new garment for you. And when it comes to the wineskins, He says, you know, you need a new wineskin. You know, which means God wants to come and do some new things, refitting and just working in our hearts and our lives and just making soft. You know, that's why we need to fall in love again into that first love and just find God in a new way, in a new expression. Sometimes it's just good to sit back and just breathe in and receive from God. You know, we have to learn how to receive. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or who you are. It's really easy, you know, for things just to harden you off. And so you got to stay soft. And sometimes we go and we come up for prayer or we come up for whatever and we're not actually able to receive. We want it. We want it in our heart. But our heart has been conditioned in such a way that we're not able to receive. And you need to teach yourself. Like it's in worship. Sometimes worship's just hard going. And you got to learn how to actually receive, to open up your spirit and be receptive. And just because of issues going on, some of the things James was talking about, just normal day-to-day life when you're farming or business or working or doing school or doing whatever, you know, things come against us and we just, you know, it bangs away at us and we sort of feel that we have to harden up, you know, just to build a wee resolve inside of us to cope with everything that's going on when actually God wants to do the opposite. For preaching for many years, Peter Morris, one of his favorite sayings was, you need steel in your backbone. And I've actually found just the opposite. It's just the opposite. And I've sat down with many ministers, you know, and I say, just go the opposite. Open yourself up more and more and more. People say, you know, you just need to let things run off. You're like water off a duck's back. Well, I just found the opposite because all you're doing is actually hardening. It's another name for just toughening up and hardening off. That's steel in your backbone. That's water off a duck's back. Is you're just hardening off. And actually, we need to be more receptive. And then we go to the Lord. We go and say, I'm hurting. You know, we absorb it all. You take it. It aches. It hurts. You feel grieved. It knocks you at times. You feel really flat. You just feel like, yeah, just like it's just wrecked your day. And the more sensitive you get to God, the more sensitive you get, the more words hurt. And you know, of all of the ministries, the prophet seems to be the most hardest. You know, he brings us word and whatever. But you will find, it doesn't matter who they are. You know, there's a guy, Brent Douglas, many people will know Brent. And Brent always comes across as very hard and, you know, in your face and whatever. But I already know what he's like, and I know his love language. And he's actually just the opposite. He is very sensitive and is really easily hurt. And just because somebody is gruff on the outside doesn't mean that they're like that on the inside. Because to operate at that level, you've got to be more sensitive to hear what God is saying. And so the more sensitive you need to be to operate in that gifting, you'll find the more softer people are. They just don't show it to you always, but they've got to go away and deal with it with God. And it's actually just being, we've got to learn how to be receptive and then take that to God. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, all you that are burdened down, you've got all these cares, all these weights, all these struggles, and I will give you rest. Give them to me. Take my burden upon you. You give me all your stuff. Take my burden upon yourself. It's light. It's easy. You see, and that's what we do. We do a trade-off. Lord, I'm hurting. And Jesus did that with his father. Jesus did that. You know, I've sat down and just studied in scripture quite a bit. You know, it's like, how do you do this, Jesus? How do you do this? Because Jesus took a pounding every day. Every day Jesus got up, he had people that were against him. He had people that were trying to trap him, trying to kill him, trying to bring accusations, trying to prove that he isn't the Son of God, trying to trap him for all different reasons, mainly because of religion. And they were coming against him every day. But he would spend time with his father. And I just hear these words, son, I understand, but I love them. And I just want you to keep showing them the kingdom. And you hear Jesus saying this again, the kingdom of God is like. And his father's saying, just show them the kingdom. Just express the kingdom. Just be the kingdom. Just be who you are. I know, I hear that. I know, but I love them. I love them, son. I just want you just to go out and to demonstrate and to teach and to be me to all of them. Be love and keep demonstrating. And that's what God asks of us. You know, I was just thinking this week too that Jesus always talks to God as Father. He's Father. So I want to carry on in this displacing a orphan spirit. He's always Father. Like he doesn't ever refer to him as God or someone else. He's my Father. And he lives in me and I live in him. In fact, he says, my Father lives in me and I live in you, which means we've got God inside of us. Our Heavenly Father is inside of us because he's in Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm in you. When we ask him into our heart and into our lives. And the Holy Spirit comes in. And, you know, and so these three are one. And it's like, when you pray, my Heavenly Father. It's like, because we come into a place of sonship where we are recognizing God as our Father. Abba Father. Abba Father. He's our Father. And so I just want to continue on this morning and I want to talk about displacing an orphan spirit. And we looked at a couple of scriptures last week on Romans 8, 15 there. And it just talked about, you know, how we've been adopted into the family and that we are no longer orphans, but we are sons of God. And the Holy Spirit confirms that we are heirs. We talked about in Romans chapter 12 that we need a renewing of the mind. In order to do that, we need to present ourselves a living sacrifice, which is saying, Lord, here I am. I know there's things in my life that I need to change. And there's a whole lot of things around repentance and acknowledging woundings and hurts and things in our lives. And we talked a wee bit about some of those, but we need those healed. And so as we present ourselves, not a dead person, but a living sacrifice unto God, and then he can come and begin to renew our mind, because our mind needs to be renewed. Our heart needs to be renewed, because there is things that we've taken on board. There's memories that are instilled in that we just keep going back to by default. And something goes wrong. It's like, no, we make inner vows. That's not going to happen to me again. And there's lots of things. And when we understand the brain and how it works on that, we actually have to create whole new roads and build bridges, actually, in our brain, and the wee electrical nerve things that go through our brain to create new roads and new patterns in our brain, to form new habits, new thinking, new concepts. And so God wants to do things, and he wants to bring healing, and there's some things that only God can do. You know, and sometimes we can go to counseling all our life, you know, and we can go to therapy all of our life, and we can go to addiction clinics all of our life, you know, and God can turn up and heal you like that. God can shift memories and different things just like that. God can heal, and I've seen it heaps and heaps of times, just sitting there with the Holy Spirit, just praying with someone, inviting the Holy Spirit. Sozo is a wee bit like that for you who don't know. Nikki and a few of them do Sozo, and it's just all it is just inviting God into your situation, into things in your life, and then hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying, seeing what God is showing you, the Father is showing you, and just shifting. And I was just seeing so many people set free from different things when you are able to get onto that level with God and just receive from him and see what he's doing. And he can heal, but it's a journey. It's a journey. We've got to put on a new man. And when we receive Christ, it talks about we become a new man. But the trouble is, we've still got a lot of old things inside of us. And so God has to, it's a process. It's a process. And so it's really important with the renewing of the mind. I want to go down this morning to a scripture. Let me see, I had a few here. I want to go to Psalms chapter 68 this morning and start in verses 5 and 6. Because I want to understand, I want us to understand who God really is. And so we've looked a wee bit, and we might look at another scripture here about, you know, that he is our Father, and he's adopted us again, and we're no longer orphans. I think we looked at one of them, that Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit. He's not going to leave us, the Bible says, as orphans. And so this whole orphan spirit is about, you know, when we have woundings and things, we reject and we withdraw, and we actually hold back, and we don't receive. And so when certain father figures, authoritative figures, whatever, come to us and we feel that we're going to be growled, told off, or come under that, we withdraw away because we're protecting ourselves. We form vows inside of us that cause us to say, that's not going to happen again in my life. I'm not going to allow that. And sometimes we're not even fully aware of some things that are going on in our heart. The Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. You know, it plots and schemes away, you know, and there's things inside of us. And that's why we need to break up that ground sometimes. You know, there's ground in our hearts that's never been plowed, never been broken up. And when God comes to do a move, he always breaks up those areas that maybe we've put aside. And, you know, we've got this part of our heart that we will give, but this part that we won't. And I had to come to that place. I remember even as a young person, come to that place where I just stood before God. I was at the front of the church, and I cried for about 2 weeks. Every time I come to meetings, prayer meetings, home groups and church, and I just sat there, and tears would just run down. I didn't necessarily make a lot of noise, but I just, like, tons of tears. And all that was happening was walls were coming down. Because what was happening, I really loved the Lord. I really loved the Lord all my life, and talked. And because I've seen so many supernatural things happen all my life, like full-on supernatural things. And I knew God was God. And so, but just growing up, you know, my dad suffered from mental illness and different things. And it was just riddled in our family, and heaps of suicides and all that sort of stuff. And so anxiety and depression and all that sort of stuff just ruled in our family, you see. And so Dad wasn't always able to be the dad that he would like to have been, and we had to deal with all that sort of stuff. Man, anxiety and insecurities were huge in my life. They were massive, you know. I didn't even like going to a public toilet, you know, getting up to speak or whatever. When I first did what we called a preacher's class, I never slept. I didn't feel like I slept for 2 weeks, honestly. Every morning it was like a bus had run over me. I was just a mess. I got up, I managed to speak for 1 minute. My hands were soaking wet, you know. I was just a wreck, you know. And we think, you know, but I felt God's call on my life. I mean, I was so happy farming. I could farm all my life. It was all I wanted to do, and come home onto the home farm and went into a partnership and think, this is me. I love this. And I served God. I helped, you know, end up going planting churches, run Sunday school for donkeys, and took home groups and helped plant churches and just stuff went on and on, you know, and God just kept working in my heart, you know, until I got freed from that anxiety, from that worry, you know. And, you know, and I kept telling myself, there's no use worrying because nothing changes in the morning. Nothing's changed. Been awake all night and worrying yourself sick. But I needed the Lord to come in and heal me of these things. You know, and with all of these things that come in and things happen to you and insecurities and that, you know, you withdraw. You know, you hedge around, you avoid things and whatever. And when you're doing that, you're also keeping God out. And that's what my tears were all about. When the walls were coming down, I was letting God in, but then I'm also letting others in. You see, and you have to, if you're going to try and keep people out and let God in, it won't work. You're fooling yourself because your heart is your heart. And if you're going to be receptive, you're receptive, you know. And, you know, there's some people like I have to come to people and it's like, and this is one of the things I think I talked a wee bit about this last week. You know, when you've been hurt and jumped on and like I've had all sorts of things, threats and people going to knock my head off, had to remove my family from my home at times and, you know, with people coming in to do me in and finish me off and drive their vehicles through, tractors through my house. I had $10,000 on my head. The detectives couldn't do anything about it until they did something to me. There's lots of things I've been involved in. You know, I was a marked man for many years as we've stepped into, because I took on a lot of stuff in our district and there's a lot of demonic and witch covens and all sorts of stuff, you know. And so I had lots of stuff come against me. I had accusations, you know. I don't know how many wives I was supposed to have had. You know, I was supposed to have been touching young girls in their private parts while I was in different meetings and whatever, and principals made these accusations against me. And I've had all sorts of things, you know, called into Invercargill, you know, Wayne, they've got these accusations against you, da-da-da-da-da. And these aren't just in church, these are outside of church. And so I have had to go through all of these sort of things, you know. And God was just like, every time accusations come against me, it was just, well, I just couldn't believe that they chose that, because it's like, wow, a family group conference? It's like, and I've been in a few family group conferences, it's like, don't you understand that all of these things are documented and whatever, police, judge, there's a person represented there, SIFs and that, and I'm doing all of this, am I? Wow, good on me. You know, and so I'd have to go and confront people about different stuff, and, you know, and so, and you know, I've been as hated as I have been loved. You know, and I remember when I come here that Mike says, you know, so how do you get on when people bring accusations, Wayne, and da-da-da? It's just like, can you still trust people? And it's like, yeah, I can. You see, and the reason is because I got to let my walls down and take it to God. You know, and you know some people that are, you know, they've got things in going on in their life and they can be a bit dangerous, you know. But you just understand that and you work in those confinements. You know, and you just treat them accordingly, you know, but you've got to be able to have your heart down where you are vulnerable and able to minister into people. And hurts hurt. But what happens is, as soon as we withdraw away, then we're becoming an orphan, because suddenly we're not being as receptive and we're not accepting some things, because then it comes to the Word of God, and he talks to some things in the Word of God about, you know, we need to forgive some people. And it's just like, wow, they've really wronged. I mean, some people have done some bad things to me and to my family and to my daughters. They've done some shocking things to my daughters. That hurts a dad. That hurts a dad. Huge, you know. And I just had to suck it up, you know, and things, you know, and working with it's just so many things, really. But the thing is, if you don't allow God to come into our hearts and we start to withdraw, or we take on the wounding or the hurt or the fear or whatever it is, the insecurity, the shame. I had a bus driver get off the bus one day because something had happened to one of my daughters and he knew the person who had done it to my daughter. And he said, you know, his father's like this, da-da-da, you'll be kicking him out of the church, won't you, and da-da-da. I mean, the whole Riverton, Arapuki, everybody knows about all the stuff. And it's like, man, shame on this church, you know. It's like, and almost shame on me. And then had pastors ringing me up and ripping into me. It's like, what the hang's going on there? God was actually doing some great things. But we were just having to go through all of this stuff, you know. And I says, no. I says to him, and I love this guy. And he really was feeling for me. I know he was feeling for me. And I didn't say anything. I just didn't say anything, you know. I just let it go. But it's like, no, I kept bringing them into church because I needed to heal that marriage now. I had to fix that marriage and work on that marriage and So I put my daughter in another church so that I could walk in that church and where they were safe, and God was able to minister to them and work. And so, you know, there's lots of things, you know, that go on in people's lives. And what actually happens if you allow these different things in your heart not to be dealt with, then you come into a place where you step away from. And the word of God is too hard. It's hard to forgive. Like, how can you forgive that guy? Well, I went up and embraced him and loved him. And he said, you can't do that. He pushed me away. He said, you can't do that. You can't do that to me. You can't love me for what I've done to your daughter. And it's just like, yes, I can. Yes, I can. You know, if I was in that situation, I'd feel like I'd knock his head off. You know, but when God comes on you, when God comes on you, you see, then everything changes. And it's like, can you do that? Can you do that? And it was really hard. And I remember speaking at Living Springs over up here at Christchurch. Actually, we'd come up here and I had another guy who was just a real pain. Like, he was determined. His mum would ring up and demanded that this boy had access to my daughter and that I needed to put her on the pill and that she needed to be allowed to have sex and whatever, da da da. And he used to come, and I was helping out a guy who had a crash on a motorbike and he'd really bad one, went under a truck and it nearly killed him, and he had a bit of brain damage and he owned a dairy farm, and so I was helping out and I'd be up early in the morning and he would wait till I was gone, then he would try to come into my daughter's place about 5:30 in the morning. He'd try to get in and Nikki would have to get up and all this carry on, then he'd try and shoot away before I got back. And it's like, you know, and it's just like, really? It's like, you know. And so there was all sorts of things that were going on, and it's like, can you love people? You know, when people come into your face and tell them, this is what you should be like. You know, I'm not being a responsible parent. You know, you need to put your daughters on the pill. You need to whatever. You know, I had lots of people line up and say, yeah, my boys are coming up. They're going to get all your girls pregnant. I have 5 daughters. They're going to, you know, and it's like, I used to sit there because I worked in shearing sheds. I was a shearer did a lot of shearing and different things. And so, you know, I've had lots of things come again me. And I'm just saying all of this because you have to understand that, you know, the Word of God is real, and that God is a Father and He cares and He loves. He loves. And the reason people do things is because, one, they've got stuff going on in their heart. They've got stuff going on in their heart, and it's wrong. And I have put people in prison. I go to the police. The police come and follow it up. Sometimes they take other people for whatever. Go through trials and courts and whatever. And then they go to prison. And so it's not, you know, it's like sometimes, and I've said to some people, in fact, one guy, I think I might have said to you last week, one guy was in court and he says, even though Wayne Watson's did all this to me, da, 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 I'm not giving up on God. And I says to him, it's like, you need to go to prison because you've been doing all of these things to all of these people, and this is really wrong. And I says, but God still loves you, but you need to go here. And it's like, and then that's going to maybe it'll put a mark on you, but it's like you think twice now about every time you do this because you've already got that hanging over your head. But it's like you're not able to. And I worked with this guy for a long time, got him saved and out of a shearing shed. He was a shearer, got him saved, worked and brought him down and got him even to help shear my sheep and different things, you know. But it's like some things are wrong, so they got to do their time and a long time in prison, you know, because that's the system we work under. If you do, and it was the same in the Old Testament. Like sometimes we're scared of God because He's a judge. He's actually not a judge. God is not a judge. What he actually was is He puts down rules for people to learn live by. And back in these days, when you come out of slavery, when you've been in Egypt for 400 years and you don't even know how to rule. These people never knew how to rule. They never knew how to govern because they've been a slave for so many generations. They didn't even know what freedom was. And God brought them out of Egypt, but He couldn't get Egypt out of their hearts. So that whole generation had to die in the wilderness so He could raise up a generation. And He had to raise up a man, Moses, who was never a slave, who was raised in the king's house because he was the only one who knew how to rule. And then he led them and he was the only one who was able to judge them. And we see Moses sent his family away because he was there judging the people. 3 million people with all their complaints. My cow come across the road and stomped on your kid and killed them. It's like, well, what's going to happen here now? You know, because they had animals. There's 3 million people living together. There was things, there was arguments, there was fights. And so God says to Moses, called him up the hill and says, this is what some things, and we know the Ten Commandments, but there was hundreds of other commandments if you want to read them. So he goes in, what happens if your cow gets out of control and goes over and stomps on someone? If someone has a fight, knocks his teeth out. All those things are there in the Bible. And so he gave all of those, we call it the law, for people to live by, for boundaries, because he knew the heart of man. So now they had all these things. So then he put all these people that could do the same job as Moses, and they had all these rules and that to go by. And the thing is, with God's word, he says, I hold it above my own name. And so he makes some decrees in the word of God. If you do this, you will be blessed. If you do this, you're going to receive this, this, and this, which isn't going to be good for you. And it's like when God says those things, it's like gravity. It's like he created gravity. If you jump, you're going to fall. That's it. Now, he gives us a choice. And so we say, oh, well, these bad things, you know, this person got stoned or this person got whatever because they did, you know, because God made these laws and whatever. Yeah, that's what happened to them, but it was their choice. It's their choice. And God's just put it there. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you do this, you will be blessed. And he lines them all up. There's a whole lot of blessings and then there's a whole lot of cursings. Your choice. And today, you know, if people do wrong, they get punished. You know, legally, if you do some bad things. The grace of God is always there to forgive. The grace of God, that's what Jesus brought. We brought forgiveness, but God had put these rules down to govern in that time because of the fall, you know. And so we just need to understand that God's not sitting there saying, you've done wrong. Now it grieved, you see, God was grieved in his heart, wished he'd never made mankind. You know, there was things that people did. He was so grieved. It's like, oh, you know. But out of the kindness of his heart, he brought them into captivity. And they repented. They seen the error of their way. And he come back and he blessed them. That's a good father. A good father says, you shouldn't be doing that. Because if you're going to do, put your hand in the fire, it's going to get burnt. So we have to take measures to stop that. Or if you're going to run out on the road all the time, this is what's going to happen. I mean, this, if you're going to pull the dog's ear, he's going to bite you. Don't pull. Give me your hand. If you're going to bite your brother, I'm going to bite you. We had to do that with our daughters. Watch out for Ginny and Jade. No, they won't bite you now. They would have when they were wee. They won't bite you now. Will they, Seth? She still bite? Sometimes. So we used to bite them. We bite them back hard so they understood what a bite did, you know. And this is what God was doing. It's like you're going into captivity. It's like, I have to show you this. It's like, oh, okay, so that's, we're wrong. That's, yeah, we see where we've gone wrong and they come back. Do we see that? It's like we look back on the Old Testament and it shows you some things because he's a good father. Or he wouldn't bring them back. He'd just pick up another race of people or whatever. Anyway, let's get back to our scripture. I don't know why we're talking all about that today, but is this good? I don't know. Talking about myself a lot. Psalm 68, 5 and 6. It says this, God is a father to the fatherless. Who's the fatherless? Orphans. He's a defender of widows. This is God. This is God. Who's God? A father to the fatherless and a defender of widows, whose dwelling is holy. So in heaven, on his throne, while he's ruling as divine, holy God, he is a father to the fatherless. To those who are orphans, who have no relationship, who are lost, he is a father to them in his holy place. This is God. When we talk about God is love and God is all these things, this is God. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free. We're singing about that. And gives them joy. But he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Why? Because they need to repent. That's the goodness of God. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. This is God. This is who God is. In his holy place in heaven on throne, God is into family. God is into family. I mean, I could talk about family. You know, family is everything to God. We used to have a word up the back there saying family. It's one of our values. And when we first started off here, we just had four, and family was big, because I want us to understand that we're family, and we've got to get along, and we all have different stuff and different personalities. It's basically four personalities. Doesn't matter where you go, you'll get basic four personalities. You'll find them in workplaces, schools, wherever, in church, you know, and they all just clash. Certain people are like certain people are. You know, that's what makes us an arm, a leg, a foot. We're so different. You know, and the foot isn't connected to the head. But there's a lot of members in between that allow the foot to help the head, or for the head to talk to the foot. But if the head was just to talk to the foot, they probably wouldn't get on too good. But there's a lot of members in between, you know. And the body of Christ is like that, so that we can function. We're all different, but we all got our gifting. And we've got to work together, otherwise we're all out of... You ever seen a person try to walk along like this? Doesn't work too good. We've got to work together so we can get and talk and relate properly. God's one desire in life was to restore all mankind back into relationship and into his family. It's why he paid the highest price in giving his son. It's family. That's all he's interested in. Family. I want my family back. He created mankind for relationship. And he walked and he talked with Adam and Eve and had a marvelous relationship. And then they lost it all in the fall. And we become spiritual orphans. We talked a wee bit about that last week. Ever since, until Jesus come. And because he loved us, because he loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's the high price. A father to the orphans. That's who God is. God places the lonely in families and he sets the prisoners free. So God's all about family and restoring and placing every orphan and lonely person into families. That's us. He wants to put us in a family. And you get different churches all around the country and all around the world because God is restoring orphans back into families. He's adopting us back into his family. I want us to understand God's heart. I want us to see him for the true father that he is. That he is God and that he's a good God. I want us just to, I mean, if you learnt this memory verse, it's not hard. If you learnt this, to see that God is a father to the fatherless. It's who God is. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. Means he's healing every hurt. He's removing all shame. So that wall that separates us from his love is broken down. He's setting the captives free. He's breaking down walls. He's putting the lonely into families. And he's setting the prisoners free. That's you and I. From all sorts of things. Every false identity, every sense of fear and worthlessness is removed. And every heart, he says, is filled with joy. He wants to not just set us free, but fill us with joy. That's him. That's who God is. God is a father to the fatherless. We have so much hurt. We have so much fear. We have so much shame. We have so much anger. We have so much resentment. We have so much pain. We have so much unforgiveness. We have so much anxiety, addictions, loneliness, need for acceptance. We have so many struggles, weights, concerns, burdens, disappointments. There's just, the list goes on here. As a father, God wants to bring us out of these things that hold us captive. He wants to bring us. He wants to heal us and remove those things. He wants to take the weight. He wants to take the thing that we are struggling with. And part of him taking that is he wants you to see some things in the Word of God that says, this is who I am. And part of it is forgiving and letting go. Is forgiving and letting go. Forgiving and letting go. Sometimes we have to forgive our fathers. I've seen many, many women who just can't connect with God or Jesus. They just go to the Holy Spirit because they just struggle with this man thing, because they got some issues with men in their life and what men have done, or their fathers done, or their other men have done. And so I just work and say, well, let's just work with the Holy Spirit. Let's just work with the Holy Spirit. Just let God be God and let Him love, you know. Tears will come as the walls come down. The tears will come as the walls come down. He wants to break the lies and the memories. You know, there's too many lies that we believe about ourselves and sometimes about other people. Sometimes, and this is the worst thing about an orphan spirit, is that you see things that are wrong. I mean, some of you might look at me and see things that aren't right. And it's usually with authoritative figures or bosses or things like that. And you see things that aren't right, you see, and you make these assumptions and whatever. And that's because we believe lies. And the lies are that sometimes when we have any form of hurt, not sometimes, when we have any form of hurt in our heart, we see things through that perspective, through that hurt. Even if you don't think you are, even if you don't think that that thing is affecting you, you just say, oh, well, da-da-da. If it's not dealt with in your heart, you view things through that. So however that looks, you will look through that to see things. If you've been ripped off a few times, you know, you get tough when it comes to deals and different things. And it's not that we have to be silly, but I just see people that are... I've worked with lots of people who are just really tight. And I had a friend, actually, I had him on leadership for quite some time. One minute he was a millionaire, next minute he wasn't, next minute he was, next minute he wasn't. You know, all sorts of things. What was I going to say about him? He was always... I mean, he would watch everybody, and he would scheme away, and he was entrepreneurial, and he was into things. Initially, he made the bulk of his money power diving and different stuff. And, of course, I would ask something, and he would hush all his men up or wouldn't let me know anything or let other people know anything, you know, it's whatever. And I used to say to him, it's like, his name was Rodney. Rodney, I'm not like you. It's like, you know, I'm not sitting here, all any information or anything I see, I'm scheming, saying, right, I can use that now to get myself ahead. And I had to work with him for quite a while to help him see and to understand that just because he thought like that, he treated everybody else like that. Everybody else is going to be onto it like me. So if I give anything away, it's like you can't have a relationship. You can't trust. You can't be open with people. It's like, I'm not like that, and the other people aren't like that. And it's because inside of his heart, he'd been caught a few times, and so he was sneaky, actually. He still had a naughty thing going on inside of his heart, and so he thought, no, everybody's got that in their heart. Well, everybody hasn't got that in their heart, unless they want to give themselves to it. And so I had to take him through a process of helping him see, I'm not like that. And that's how we treat people. We're just like, wow, you know, just and that's why for me, you know, I don't want to treat you like that. I don't want to treat you from every wounding or hurt that I've come across. And so, you know, it's something that we have to acknowledge in our heart, that if there's something in there, then that's how we view things. That's how we're going to view it. As a saying, you know, we viewing things through rose-colored glasses. Well, we can view things through hurts and deceit and deception and wrongs and mistrusts and disappointments and all of that sort of stuff, you know. And, You know, and I feel it with people. Sometimes I'm working with people and I'm talking away and I can feel their guard up, or they're just going so far and then they don't want to open up the rest of it. You know, and so when people's hearts, when people's guard comes down, I'm giving something away here now. When people's hearts come down, you will find me a totally different person. So if you want the best out of me, let your heart down. And you'll be surprised what I'll talk to you about and share with you. But I don't share all those things, and don't be offended by this remark, because you don't throw pearls before swine. You don't give really good things to people when they're not in a place where they want to hear it or receive it, or in that place where they can actually do something with it. Because once it's there and it's trampled under, it's worthless. And you might try and come back to that again, but it's like it's already been trampled. And so you're best just to sit with things. So I don't share with things with people until they're in a place where I feel they're ready to receive some things. That's how I work. Not because I've been hurt. It's because I'm actually trying to give you the best thing I can. And if we're not in a place to heal, and it's the same with God. God just doesn't give you something that's going to destroy you. In fact, this is what he says in the New Testament, two places. He talks about this, you know, gifts are given according to the grace on your life. Or according to the gift that is given. No, how's it? According something to the gift, grace abounds or something. Something like that. In other words, God gives grace according to the grace that's on your life. What's grace? Grace is divine influence upon your heart. What's divine? Divine is everything that's God. The Holy Spirit, God, or Jesus. So according to the amount of Jesus, God, or Holy Spirit on your life, God gives gifts. So divine influence upon your heart and the reflection in its life. Look it up. That's what it means. A lot of people say a lot of other things. That's what it is. Divine influence. And when you get that in your heart, what grace means, it'll change everything. It'll change how you read the Bible. You understand Paul. And Paul says, you know, the grace of God is sufficient. And we were singing that there today in one of those songs about grace. God's giving us grace. One of those new songs there. And part of that is God's comes and he rests on us. And when God's resting on us, he gives the giftings. So when grace is abounding on our life, God will give us gifts because his grace or his influence in your heart is there to operate it. So you don't destroy yourself. So we need God's grace. We need God's influence on our heart to operate the giftings so they don't destroy us. Otherwise, we get proud. You know, we think that we are better than ourselves and all that. And so, in fact, I won't go into all of that. I'm going to go derail. So we'll just stay off that. So he's a father. So an orphan spirit rejects a lot of things because of their woundings and their perceptions, yet they do things to find acceptance. You find people that have had nothing all their life and they work their heart out. I've seen them and they become successful, they become millionaires and they're driven. It's like, and I had nothing. As a kid, I had nothing and we had whatever. It's like, and you see that, it's like, actually, you need healing. You need healing. And there's a scripture, I don't know if I'll get to it tonight, where God talks about, you know, actually, it might have been that one, actually. If we go back and you look at that one where he sets prisoners free, those prisoners are people that are trapped in blessings. Trapped in blessings. That are trapped in blessings. You know, and just because someone's doing really well doesn't actually mean they're free. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. In fact, God says this all through Scripture, you know. Orphans, widows, and foreigners. Orphans, widows, and foreigners. You do good to orphans, widows, and foreigners. Always do good. It's the saving grace on Jerusalem, or it would have been destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. That was their only saving grace. Widows, orphans, and foreigners. You leave it. If you forgot a bag of corn that you left out on the field, leave it there for the widows, orphans, and foreigners. God says you love them, you look after them, you do good to them. You love them, you look after them, you do good to them. Why? Because he's a father. To the widows, the foreigners, and the orphans. That's it. Or talk to the hand. You say, I don't want to know. If you're not going to treat them, I don't want to know. And treat your wife just as good or talk to the hand, he says. Are we able to say, Lord, help me today in a particular area of our lives? I'll read this scripture. Galatians 4:1-7. I was going to show you something today at a Solomon. Because I want us to see, maybe I'll talk about this next week. I want us to see how in scripture, I want to show you some things. And when you understand Solomon and what Solomon wrote in Proverbs, you begin to understand God. You begin to understand what it means to be a father and a son. So I want to show you that before I show you the negative side of the orphan. To understand what it means to be a son, you know, it's hard to not be an orphan until we know how to be a son, because we have to receive instruction. And an orphan doesn't receive what's laid down, you know. In fact, I just didn't realize this, but I just thought that, you know, when God lays something down like he did this morning for us, an orphan won't pick it up. An orphan won't pick it up. They won't take it. They will struggle. They'll say, I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. And they won't respond. They won't respond. And part of that is because they've still got this thing, I'm my own person. I can do this. I can do this. I'm okay. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'll show you that. Not today. Next week. Think of it this way, Galatians 4. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance to his young children, they become an orphan. Parents have died, now they're orphans. These orphans are not much better off than slaves. That's why God talks about slaves when he talks, you're no longer slaves, but you're sons. They're no better, an orphan is not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they've actually owned everything their father had. So you've inherited everything your father's got, but you're not able to step into that or walk into that because you're at this. They've got this thing that's going on inside of you. One, you're not mature. You haven't come to that place or that understanding where you are at. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father sets. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. So this is the way it's been for us without Jesus Christ. We are just like our father has died. We've been separated because of Adam and Eve away from our heavenly father. And we've got natural fathers and mothers, and maybe we're not great with them and great relationship with them. And dad was always good to us and all that sort of stuff, but he wasn't a father like we should know fathers to be. And a good dad, you won't hear me saying a whole lot of things about him. He had to suffer with his stuff. He takes medication and all of that sort of stuff. And dad was just dad. He was more of an absent father than anything else. But the thing is, we've been separated away from God. Just like if our fathers had died, their parents had died, and left us a great inheritance, but we can't walk into it. That's the way it was before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles or powers of this world. So we were about trying to get ahead, prosper, do things, you know, measure up to what society says we should be and so on. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law, and God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. So God now has adopted us so that no longer are we orphans. Why do we adopt somebody? Because they're fostered. They have no parents. Someone who needs to be adopted is someone without a mum and a dad, or they've been given away. So they don't have parents. Or the parents have forsaken them or given them up. Shouldn't say forsaken. Sometimes that, but sometimes they can't keep them or whatever tragedies are around their life. And so they're adopted. And then they are brought into the home. That's what's happened. So we're an orphan. until we're adopted as His very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, Jesus, prompting us to call out Abba Father, to respond to Him and acknowledge Him now as His Father. And some people have trouble. We've had some of this over the years and dealt with different kids, and you know they don't want to respond to new parents. If you've been a foster parent, they're just holding everybody at bay. They're hurt. They've got walls off, and every time they go from another home to another home, maybe you've been one of those people and you understand what that's like. Well, God's saying today, I'm bringing you into my family. And nobody's shunning you away anymore. And you're safe. Because this is who I am. I'm a father to the fatherless. Even in heaven, in my holy place, I'm here. If you've been to prison, if you've been shunned by society, if you've been hooked on all sorts of things, done all unspeakable things in your life, God comes to you today. Jesus wipes away all your past. And He says, now you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. You're my covering. I had a guy who was getting hammered and all sorts of accusations. And so he was down south. So I was thinking, where can I keep him safe? And I thought, yes, Enright. I will put this guy in Enright's church. I ring up Ian. Ian, I've got this guy. He says, Wayne, there's all these accusations against him. I said, I know. He said, are they true? I says, no. Will you keep him safe in your church to shut all these things down? He says, okay, I'll do that. And he did. And he sent him up here to Pastor Darfield Church. And he's excited. He prayed over and blessed him. Said, look out, Canterbury. Miracles are coming. And he got to see him and used him in his own church. I thought, wow. And I'm thinking, you're not having him in. He's coming this way. We've already booked him in. But I knew in that church he would be safe. And I knew if any other pastors who were saying things and that, they won't take on him. Ian's like the father figure of Southland. And so I knew he'd be safe there in that church. And he was. And that's what God's saying. It's like, I'm bringing you into my family. I mean, people can say whatever they like, but it's like, boom, boom, boom. Shut it down. Shut it down. Doesn't matter. It's wiped away. And when I said this last week, we struggle with accepting that God forgives our sin. But that's because we have trouble in our own mind. When God actually, when He forgives sin, it's forgiven. And He forgets about it. He wipes it. It's gone, blotted out, thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. Thrown as far as the east is from the west, which means you're never going to see it again. It just keeps on going. You know, keeps on going because they're opposite poles. And we struggle with that. It's like, oh yeah, but other people bring it up. God doesn't bring it up. So you come to God and it never hangs over you again. God doesn't hang it over you. And so when, as Ben was saying there today, you know, when that thought comes into your head, you've got sickness, you can't do that. It's like, that's a lie. Because God doesn't hold that over you. When there's a failure in your life, you know, how can you pray for someone when you've got all these problems in your own life? And He just says, doesn't exist. You know that's not from God. I need to finish. Let's keep reading. And because we are His children, God has sent His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call Abba Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own children. And since you are His children, God has made you His ears. Which means we get to look up ears. Look it up in the dictionary. What it means. It means you get to inherit everything He has. So now everything that God has is ours. We were orphans. Children had lost their parents. That's what the state we were, spiritual orphans. We have received this amazing inheritance from our Heavenly Father. And now we can step into that. Meaning we're entitled to everything that belongs to God. And it's ours. It was ours all along. But it got taken away from us. And it's been restored. I'll close with this one statement. One of the big differences from an orphan and a son is the ability to give or transfer to others what you have. A son knows how to love. A son knows what it is to belong and to be accepted. A son knows his father and his inheritance. A son knows how to share with others what he has and has experienced. But an orphan can't give others anything until he has first received what he has been given. Until we receive from a Father that affirms us, loves us, and teaches us, and demonstrates to us what a Father looks like, then we don't know how to reproduce that to others. Next week I'll show you some stuff about Solomon and David and the orphan spirit. Father, we just thank you, Lord, today for just speaking into our hearts. Father, I just pray as we continue with our fasting, Lord, that you are healing areas in our heart. Father, you are speaking to us today about receiving what you have put in front of us, but also, Lord, displacing that thing that is causing us to withhold or to not take that which you want us to have. Lord, you want us to be joyful, yet our hearts are heavy and sad. Lord, you want us to be able to minister out to others, yet we feel that we have nothing to give at times. And Father, Lord, we just praying here today, Lord, for every person here that the wrongs, the injustices, the shame, the burdens, the anxieties, the things that we carry, Lord, we're handing over to you. Lord, we are presenting ourselves, Lord, even this final week, Father, of fasting, Lord. We're praying, Father, Lord, for the removing, Father, Lord, of things, Lord, that we struggle with. Mistrusts, disappointments. Feeling we're forgotten and forsaken. The fears. Even the memories, Lord. Every form of shame, Lord, that is attached to our memories, Father. Lord, we're just praying here today, Father, Lord, for the removing of that. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we speak into minds today, right now. We say, shame be gone. Shame be gone. Blood of Christ over all shame today. Over all and every feeling of failure today. Father, Lord, we speak, Father, Lord, into our hearts and into the minds of every person here, every one of us, Lord. A healing and a release and a shifting off like a cloud moving on. Every form of failure and the shame attached. In Jesus' name. Every hurt and every wounding. Father, we thank you for that today. We thank you for that today. And Father, we just release, Lord, laughter and love. Father, we hear these words. You're a father to the fatherless. That's who you are. A father to the fatherless. Shifting, Lord, loneliness today. Ha ha, Lord. Shifting it, Lord, off every heart. Thank you, Jesus. Every feeling of unworthiness being shifted off. Thank you, Father. Lord, and just releasing, Father, Lord. Garments of praise. Yes. Garments of praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Joy, Father, Lord. Upon the children, Father. Upon the children. Upon our young people. In Jesus' name.